Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to Max and Friends. Well, if it's your first time joining us, where have you been? We've been here for 12 years, two Communicator Awards later, and like you're just tuning in now, but I love you for doing it. So thank you for joining me here. Well, listen, you know what? We should be playing Happy Holidays, which we're going to play later on in the show, because, you know, it's that time of year where I usually play all of my favorite holiday remixes. Well, you know, when I was getting ready for this show, I said, I want to bring you some holiday cheer, but I want to bring you something new this year. For 12 years, we've been playing holiday remixes. I wanted something new, something original, something new in the sense of an old song, but a new voice singing it. So we have a wonderful guest joining us later on in the show, my pal, Juwan M. Jackson. You all know him from Ain't Too Proud to Beg. I'd finish it that way. But the Broadway show, Ain't Too Proud, I saw it in February for my birthday. And he'll be here in just a minute. And then later on, we have my pal, Prince Dimitri, joining us because we're going to talk about a really good holiday gift this year, which is his book. And we're going to talk about jewelry and diamonds and his legacy and his whole beautiful essence of designing really exquisite jewelry. But if you're in the mood where you don't want to be part of holidays this year, you know, I was joking the other day. I heard someone say, I'll be home for Christmas. And I was like, ooh. You know how many people don't want to be home for Christmas, but so many people do. So it's that 50-50. Why did I just sound like Delilah? I don't know. But what I do know is that you're listening to Max and Friends, and I'm glad you're here. Tweet me at Max Tucci. Follow me on Instagram at Max Tucci. We also have at Max Tucci Radio. So, you know, we're doing a transition, and I need you all to help me like you all do. Even when I don't ask for help, you all feel it necessary sometimes to help me, and I love that. So slide into my DMs and let me know what we should do. Just keep it at Max Tucci Radio. You know, I don't know. That's why I'm asking you all, because you all do know. But what I do know for sure is that happy holidays. What are you doing this year that's different than you did last year? Is it anything? Or are you just doing the same? I'm going to be in Florida. I'm going to be with my family. And then usually Christmas Eve, I fly to Colorado so I could do Christmas Day in Florida, in Colorado. But I decided this year I want to be with my family. I want to be with my nephew who's 3 years old, because seeing Christmas through the eyes of a three-year-old is seeing Christmas like for real. So I'll be here for Christmas Eve. I fly to Colorado on Christmas Day, celebrate Christmas there. And then I'm in Colorado for New Year's too. And I'm trying to get Ashley Longshore to come for New Year's maybe. But I've been like blowing up her DMs on social media saying, girl, you got to come to Colorado. But tweet me at Max Tucci, Instagram me at Max Tucci. Let me know what you're doing for holidays this year. You remember I used to do my favorite things, and we just used to give all those giveaways from like aspirin pens and hotel stays at the Chatwell in New York and so many amazing things. Well, I figured this year, you know what? We were talking, some of my producers, and I was like, as much as I love my favorite things, and we just did it on the Polish Room with Jessica show that I produced, I was like, this year, it's not about giving things. It's really about giving love and spreading that love and giving hope and giving peace and being hope and being love. You know, the things you can't buy that you can give for free are some of the most beautiful things in the world. Well, one thing that I do love is music. And you know that because listen, it's just it shifts my whole paradigm. It gets me thinking into just like all daydreaming. Music helps me daydream. And when I close my eyes and I listen to some good music and some good voices, oh, there's a song, Naomi Campbell, if you don't know that, she had a CD. It's amazing. And she has a song called, the lyrics go trip away. And sunshine on a rainy day makes my soul trip away. But music for me, every day makes my soul trip away. I just love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And for my birthday 2020 in February, when it's like, this is going to be the best year ever. How many of us said that? For, you know what? I understand there was a lot that happened this year and we're not doing year in review yet. But for me, it was it was a good year in the sense of reflection, self-reflection, and really working on just being a better person. And I've been doing it, and I've been doing my work, like Ian Levan says, I do my work. My life wasn't, I didn't have to fix my life in the sense where you see the show, but I had to fix some things in my life, cleanse some things out. And it was a good year to do that, because I really, it was like, be still and know. That's my theme for 2020. It was like, be still and know. So, but when I was able to travel and we were able to go out, I was in New York for my birthday, of course, at Delmonico's, and of course, all over the city and running around and having a good time. And I had to go see two shows on Broadway, which Broadway is one thing I miss the most, because during the holidays, if I was in New York, you go see Broadway. And one of my favorite shows, Ain't Too Proud, I saw that. And of course, the Tina Turner show, I saw that. So here's the thing. When I was in the city for my birthday and when I went to go see Ain't Too Proud, I was literally brought to a whole different era. And one of the voices is one of my buddies. And let me tell you, Broadway's not happening now, but maybe he'll give us some insight on it. We're going to find out what the tea is on Broadway and when it's going to reopen. But, you know, they just like started shutting down restaurants again in New York. And it's really causing a lot of heartache for many owners. I have a friend of mine who's a chef. Let's just talk for a minute. And he put his all into his new restaurant in February. It was supposed to open in March. It opened for like 3 weeks off opening, shut down. You know, the industry is suffering. Please, like, I appreciate you all when you're hungry and you want to get your munch on as much as I do. You know, don't go to the like places that are open. Plan it earlier. You know, McDonald's is really easy to get 24/7. I get it. You know, and same with Taco Bell. But support local restaurants. And if you see that they're closing earlier, order earlier. You know, get the meal, freeze it if you have to, refrigerate it if you have to, warm it up later. But please, 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 please support, especially in New York, local restaurants. It's one thing. Give back this year. Give back to the community, because I promise you, New York is the phoenix that rises from the ashes always. And the way that it does that is when we all come together, because together we rise. And New York is going to be amazing. I look forward to seeing, you know, how it's going to unfold. But right now, it's a little sad. But if we flash back to February when I was there for my birthday, it was amazing. Because here's my next guest. Born and raised in the heart of Motown, Grammy-nominated Juwan M. Jackson is a native of Detroit. Juwan made his professional debut starring in Broadway's Motown, the musical, as Melvin Franklin of The Temptations. Currently can be seen in the hit Broadway show Ain't Too Proud, The Life and Times of The Temptations. A graduate of Eastern Michigan University, Jackson began his career as a radio personality for Detroit's top radio stations. Just in time for the holiday season, guess what he did? Released a holiday classic, White Christmas. And we're going to play it here tonight on Max and Friends. But right now, we're going to invite my pal to the show, the one and only Juwan M. Jackson. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Max. What's going on, my friend?
Look, you know this radio thing. You got to talk so much shit before you can get there, right? You got to bring people in.
You got to build up this anticipation of it all. Like, what does it sound like? What is this man going to do?
Right, exactly. Then the build-up comes, and now you're here. This has been a moment I've been waiting for, because you're supposed to be here for a while. But you know
that
what?
Right.
What I know all for sure is that where we are right now is exactly where we're supposed to be. Isn't that the truth?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All things happen when they're supposed to happen.
So first and foremost, how are you?
I'm doing well. I am, you know, just trying to stay creative and, you know, keeping my artistic juices flowing in this time of stagnation that we're all in. So I won't be rusty when I get back doing what I'm doing. But it's been, like you said earlier, it's a lot of self-reflecting time for me. I spent a lot of time just really working on some things that I needed and I was putting on the back burner and didn't have time to do. But, you know, no time like the present in the pandemic to, you know, sit you down and get you together. So that's what I've been doing.
Isn't that the truth? Well, let's talk about Ain't Too Proud, because we got a clip we're going to play here. But for everyone who hasn't heard about it, is clearly living under a rock. But for those people who, you know, maybe this year they are now discovering that there was a show called The Temptations, A, tell us when, if any, do you have any Broadway gossip for us? What's happening? When is it revamping? When is it restarting? Do you know anything?
Yeah, so, I mean, Broadway League, they told us. So it's been a start and stop for all year. We've had start and stop dates, you know, just tentative. First, it was supposed to be 2 weeks before the pandemic. Then it extended until July. Then it extended until September. So now the latest one that they gave us was sometime after May, June, where we can be anticipating shows to be coming back into to play. And again, who's to say, but now that they have this vaccine out, we may be moving toward, you know, it looking like a realization. So we'll see.
Okay. Well, I believe that it was going to happen. And I trust that when it will, it's going to be amazing. So tell us about the show and how, tell us about how you got cast for it and what you were feeling at the moment when they called you back and said, you're it.
You know, so right before I got it made it to Broadway and in our out of town tryouts, they did a run in Berkeley, California at Berkeley Rep. And, you know, those auditions were like, it was like Illuminati. You could not get in unless you were a member, unless you knew somebody. And I couldn't get an audition for the show at first. And so a couple of my friends who were in the show, they were like, why aren't you a part of this? I'm like, I couldn't get an audition. I couldn't be seen. They were like, don't you worry about it. And so, you know, I don't like to say like chances or like the a miracle, you know, happened, because the guy that was actually playing a role before me, he was a, you know, personal friend of mine, but he ended up not being able to continue on. So then, you know, I got the phone call from my friends who were in the show. They were like, hey, get ready. Your turn is next. I sent your name off to producers. We've been pitching you, and here it comes. And so then I was able to get an audition, and, you know, Melvin and bass singing and low singing, that is my thing. That is my lane. If I know any lane, is that one. So
is that one.
Yeah, I know it well, like the back of my hand. And so, you know, I went in there, prepare for this side, Max, you know, and the director was like, huh, I don't want to hear any Motown or anything from the show. Sing something else. And so I'm like, okay. You know, just throwing stuff at me. So I'm like, I always go to my go-to song anytime I sing. So I pull my book out and I sang my song, and the room, you can hear a pin drop, and they're just like, oh my goodness, where have you been? I'm like, I've been trying to get an audition for this show. That's where I've been.
I've been at the door, but y'all had an opening.
Y'all weren't opening it, you know?
Wait, what was the song that you sang?
I sang Tomorrow by the Winans. It's a gospel song.
Yeah, of course. Kind of,
and it actually, you know, it's a full circle moment. It was actually my very first church solo that I sang. And shout out to my musical mentor who is now passed and gone away. He actually was the one that kind of cultivated that version and arrangement for me. And so I sang that song because it never steered me wrong before. And so it was with me again, and I appreciate it. So 3 years later, here we are.
Yeah. You know what? Broadway was waiting for you. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you made it to Broadway. You were already destined for Broadway. It just lined up with you.
I tell everyone, affirmations is so important.
It is.
And, you know,
they are.
When I was doing my first Broadway show, we heard murmurs about the Temptations musical. And so I was just like, I just put it in the air. I was like, it's going to be mine. And even when I couldn't get the audition for the first out of town trial, I'm like, that's fine, because Broadway, that's my role. Nobody's going to have it. That was my role. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I just kept affirming myself, you know, knowing that I was going to get it, knowing it, you know. And so that's why I say affirmations and manifestations are very important.
They are, you know, and that's, we always talk about it here. It's conscious conversation versus unconscious conversation. Just as much as we put the positive out there, when we say some stupid shit sometimes, we're also putting the negative out there. Mm-hmm. And the universe and God is listening. They're listening.
They're listening. Like, okay, cool. That's what you want. You spoke it. There you are.
That's so right.
I'm very mindful on my words. Yes. This movie Eddie Murphy was in years ago, and it was basically like, he had like only 500 words, you know, that he could use before his life, he died or something like that. So he had to be very meaningful and particular in what he said, and everything had to mean something. And so that's how I'm purposing my life you know, in these, you know, these earlier chapters of my 30s, like I want every word that I use to be meaningful and to have impact on someone or something.
Well, if you all want to watch that movie, it's 1,000 words with Eddie Murphy. It was from 2012. But, you know, one thing I want to hear right now is a clip from Ain't Too Proud. So, Ronan, let's play it now. For all of you who don't know what's going on Broadway before the shutdown, this is what y'all missed. Hit it. We'll be right back. I love it. And I saw it and I was there and I felt it and I experienced it. I, you know, there's nothing I miss more than walking into like that theater when it's still a little cold, right? And there's like that little like mist that's happening in there. And it's like, you get all ready. And then all of a sudden the curtains open and it's like, wow. And that's what it was for us. When we saw that show and we saw you, we were like blown away. It was so amazing. So thank you for that experience, because you know,
of course,
it was magical and amazing. What has been something that you've heard over and over again about your role in Ain't Too Proud that people have praised you with?
More importantly, aside from my voice, is, you know, that I was funny and engaging. And so, you know, I didn't even know, like, going into this role, because I came in later, the ball was, you know, the train was already going. And so I had to kind of like figure it out. And, you know, I was like, you know, the very first show I went on, I'm just like, oh, people are laughing at me. Okay, Juwan, you're going to be the comedic relief of the five. And you're also going to be the heart of the show. And so that's one thing that, you know, people are saying, and like, you know, they come to me and they're like, oh my goodness, you're my favorite. I loved you. And people that know Melvin, it was just like, you know, it was like you've known him all your life. You know, you had every mannerism, you've had everything. And I did a lot of studying. I did a lot of, you know, my due diligence with, you know, talking to friends and family members, trying to figure out who this man was to the world, and to Otis, who's our last living temptation, who's still alive and still traveling and performing. I got to, you know, I get to call him up and be like, Uncle O, like, okay, so when you and Melvin were growing up and y'all were coming along, what were some things that he would do? What were, you know, and I would just get tidbits and things. And, you know, he has been my biggest asset throughout this whole process.
You know, let me ask you, when you first were going to walk on that stage, what was running through your mind before your first show? You're backstage, ready to go on, everything's set, your mic's ready to go, you're ready to go, your heart is pumping. But what are you thinking at that moment? Do you remember?
I do. Don't mess up those dance moves. Listen, Max, I'm not a dancer, man. I am not a dancer at all. So me, I had 6 weeks rehearsal of just dancing along choreography, learning these, you know, this dance move. And as you saw the show, it's choreography intensive. I do not ever leave the stage. I'm in every dance number.
Yeah.
And so the what's running through my mind is, all right, here we go. Don't mess up. Now this is what you, you know, you got to prove to yourself that you can do this. And so that's just my thing every time. And it was like getting through the first two numbers. Once I get through the first two numbers, I can breathe and I have time to like gather myself. But it's like being shot out of a cannon, you know. You go to that first number, then that second number, then I'm like, okay, rest, breathe, you made it.
And what's fascinating too is the stage also is like, there's a lot of movement in the stage. There's a lot of like move, like literally moving parts. There's like treadmills built into the stage from what I remember.
Yeah. Our director, Des Bakanoff, he really wanted that element of coming and going, because basically that's what the Temptations group, you know, was. And into Otis's life, you know, there was a lot of members coming in and leaving out, passing on, coming through. And so he wanted to give that feel as kind of like a through line of the show, that you're feeling the you know, always changing, always moving, always going, always flowing sense of the show and to the Temptations. So I think it was done beautifully. It staged well. It's the stage direct, you know, the set direction is all done fantastically.
Yeah. And so you're going to be in it when it comes back.
That is the hope, you know, that we come back and that we're doing it. So hopefully if y'all are back and y'all are, you know, not afraid enough to come back to live theater and be in the theater and we can figure out a way to do it safely, I'll be on stage.
Yeah. You know, here's the reality. God has not given us the spirit of fear. So come when on. It happens, come you on, only Max. Go into the theater and support it. You know, it is absolutely. So, it is vital. When you say you're the heart of the show, Broadway is literally the heart of New York. Absolutely. And what happens is when that heart stops, everything else, as you know, in life starts and go. So please, now. Like, I don't know when they're going to start selling tickets, but the moment they do, please, everyone, like, if you can't afford it, save it now so that when it does happen, you can buy it. And if you can't afford it, give more so that we can keep it going. Please. That, like, for my, a great Christmas present that you could give me, everyone, is giving back and supporting Broadway. Buy tickets whenever you can. Make donations. I'm sure there's a million organizations that are, you know, taking, what is an organization that's taking money that you know of to help people, to help actors who are suffering right now? Do you know one?
There's Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS.
Of course.
That's one that helps.
But what about that helps you all directly?
That one, and then the Actors Fund is another organization that helps actors in need. And they're our main source of help that we go to. We go to both Broadway Cares and we go to Actors Funds. Those are the main organizations that, you know, we kind of are always been doing benefits for and trying to help raise awareness and donations for. So those are the two organizations that if you want to donate to an actor friend that you know or something,
ask them for their Venmo.
But if you just want to help out in general, those two organizations are great.
Yeah. No, of course. And, you know, don't be shy to ask. You know, it's like if you feel like you want to give this year and you have an actor friend who, you know, could use a little bit of chia in their stocking.
Come on.
Say, what's your Venmo?
If you're talking to one now, if anybody want to get
there, done, you go. Hit it up. Don't be shy. What's your Venmo? we'll post on Instagram later. But here's the story. We've got to talk about the holiday. Yes. And what I love about, you know, watching your Instagram, what is your Instagram, by the way? So people who are asking.
It's just Jawan Jackson is my name. J-A-W-A-N Jackson.
Okay. Jawan Jackson. So over the summer, I guess, I don't even know where we are, but over the summer, you had your niece with you.
Uh-huh.
And watching you and her, it was like, you need to write a children's book of that experience.
Like, it was so great.
I think there's a children's book in there, like My Summer with Uncle Juan or something. But there's definitely a children's book in there. This Christmas, will you be seeing your family? What will you be doing?
So on actual Christmas Day, I won't. I'll be with friends, my quarantine buddies that I've had for the whole entire quarantine.
Who are your quarantine buddies? That's what we need to know.
My quarantine buddies, well, people are going to think I'm bougie. So there is six of us, and not in any particular order. So my friend, our mutual friends of ours, Max, Derek Monroe, and this summer was Whoopi as well. And then my friends, Aaron Marcellus and Felicia Boswell. Those have been my quarantine buddies, and friends and my support. And we've been each other's rock and support during this whole time.
Yeah. No, you know, it's important to have that too. But, you know, and actually, Derek, we met at Derek's birthday party at Delmonico's, or was it yours? It was yours.
I believe. No. Whoopi was coming for some guest DJ at some club, and we all showed up, and that's when I met you there first.
Now, that's right.
I don't know.
That's right.
The introduction of you and Derek happened. Maybe it was at Delmonico's for something.
We had Derek's birthday at Delmonico's, right?
Possibly.
There's been so many birthday parties there. It was.
Delmonico's is the place, and I love it. Shout out to Delmonico's.
And you know what? It's still closed.
No.
I don't want to talk about it because here's the reality. The mayor wouldn't give outdoor seating because it's a historic building. So then a lot of the staff, when it was closed, ended up going elsewhere. So like there was no staff for a minute, There's still no staff. You know, there are a lot of them left to come to Florida. But again, the phoenix that rises from the ashes, I look forward to when everything is going to reopen and everything.
Delmonico's is the jewel of New York City and it cooks the best steak I've ever tasted. Ever.
Look, I'm going to use that quote for the book. The jewel of the city. But, you know, with the jewel of the city, keeping up, everyone, we've got my buddy on, Juwan M. Jackson. And speaking of the jewel of the city, Prince Dimitri of Yugoslavia is coming up in just a bit to talk about his book, Once Upon a Diamond. And, you know, jewels of New York, there's many of them. Juwan, you're one of them. Broadway, for sure, is the crown. And yes. Let's talk about your holiday song and what inspired you and how long have you been wanting to do a holiday song for?
I've been wanting to do a holiday song for the longest, but I've always been scared to do it. You know, it's one of, you see, I'm like Erykah Badu. I'm sensitive about my shit. I'm just, okay. That's just what it is. And so, you know, just trying to, that kind of part just exposes you, just being raw and open, and it leaves you up for judgment. It leaves you up for anything. And so this year, I made, again, with my affirmations, I said, I'm no longer going to be afraid of any of those things. I'm going to do my art. I'm going to give myself the best of my ability, and I'm just do it for myself and no one else. And so I got, you know, the idea to do a Christmas song, and it's one of my favorite songs that I heard. And so I'm just like, I need to do it. And then I had a friend who I was talking to on the phone and was like telling him my ideal about it. He was like, I'm going to be on it and we're going to do it and it's done. And so, you know, that's been the labor of love. And that idea came probably in like June.
Yeah.
I recorded it in like September, October. And here we are to the final product. And I'm so pleased with it and so happy with it.
So am I, but I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like it's not enough. When's the whole album coming out?
That is next. I am going to do a whole, I'm trying to figure out, now that I know the lane and what my genre is of music, I am now more focused on what type of album I want to put out. So that is coming up next. I'm going to work on an EP that'll be out hopefully for the summer.
You know, I just had like a premonition. I think Whoopi, look at me throwing Whoopi in this mix. Spoken word at the beginning of your Christmas album, like, you know, the whole A Night Before Christmas, kind of an intro spoken word into your music would be beautiful. I love Whoopi's voice, especially when she reads, and she just did a children's book. It was amazing. But so I feel great. That essence in there. So the song you chose, tell us, I mean, there's a million songs to choose for Christmas. But before I ask you about the song you chose, what are some of your favorite Christmas albums?
Some of my favorite Christmas albums, of course, is The Temptations Christmas. And then another one would be Toni Braxton's Christmas album, which I just love Toni Braxton's voice. A sultry alto to me. Can get whatever they want. They can just swipe my car and just, you know, just spend everything in it because I love a sultry alto. So that's one. And then they had a Motown, like growing up, Motown Christmas album. There was an array of artists on there. So I don't know which one, but those are my favorites.
Mm. You know, I love Mary J. Blige. That Christmas album is everything. Her Little Drummer Boy is amazing.
Oh, I think, is that with Whitney Houston and Mary J?
No, Mary J had her own Christmas album.
Wow, I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Before,
I'm going to check it out now.
Look, don't walk, run to Amazon.
I'm going to listen to it as I'm walking my dog tonight.
It's amazing. So set us up because we're going to play here tonight on Max and Friends your Christmas song. And of all the songs, why did you choose this one?
I chose this one because it was covered by my favorite, one of my favorite groups, the Drifters. And, you know, I'm old school, so my soul is old. And I said I wanted to give a feeling that's old, but then now contemporize it to make it, you know, current to today's sound. And so my friend Isaiah Templeton, who is a phenomenal gospel artist, aside and his on singer in his own right, he helped me. And now you're about to hear one of my favorite songs, White Christmas, sung by Jawan M. Jackson featuring Isaiah Templeton. And I hope you enjoy it. And if you like it, download it, put it on your playlist, and share it with your family and friends.
I'm like, you, when you want to co-host with me, that was like, you've clearly been in radio. That was the most brilliant setup. I love it. Without any further ado, to you and your family, Jawan, Merry Christmas, happy, healthy Christmas. And dude, 2021, happy, healthy, abundant, joyous, peaceful, hopeful, anything that's positive affirmation may you have this coming year for you and yours. I appreciate you being here. And thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate it. Anytime, I owe you everything. So thank you.
Together we rise. Right now on Max and Friends, White Christmas by Jawan M. Jackson. Stay tuned. Prince Dimitri will be right with us.
Dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow, the snow. Now Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends, and that was Jawan M. Jackson, White Christmas. My buddy, you all can go get it right now on iTunes, wherever you listen to. Buy it, do it, love it, own it, play it this Christmas. and buy for someone else and spread the Christmas love. Speaking of buying and gift giving this year, you know, one of my favorite things to give are books. My next guest coming up is not only a friend of mine, but an incredible author and a gemologist and a member of the Royal House of Yugoslavia. He founded the jewelry firm bearing his name, Prince Dimitri Company, and continues to serve as its president and creative director. He was formerly senior vice president of the jewelry department of Sotheby's Auction House, and he was also named the International Best Dressed List Hall of Fame. And he's also a friend of mine. And so welcome to the show, Prince Dimitri. Welcome.
Hi, Max.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Can you hear me?
Wonderfully, perfectly clear.
Good, wonderful.
So Once Upon a Diamond, my friend, what a beautiful title for your new book that everyone must buy today, right now. It's not too late to buy a Christmas gift, and it is the perfect gift to give. It's the most beautiful book authored by Prince Dimitri and published by Rizzoli. You know, I feel like I've had you here before, but I haven't. This is your first time to Max and Friends, so welcome.
Thank you very much. Good to hear you.
How are you, Prince Dimitri?
All right. Hanging in here like everybody is.
We sure are. And in this moment of hanging in there, you were able to have your book published. So before we get into your story and your book and everything that's going on, give us a little bit. There's so many fascinating facets of your life. And you beautifully tell the story of your life and your legacy and your family's life with your Instagram. It's such beautiful storytelling. So it was natural that you would have a book. But tell us about your family and the origins of your family.
On which side?
There are many sides. Both sides. Flip the coin.
So on my father's side, it's the royal family of Serbia that started in 1804. We are one of the junior houses of Europe. But on my grandmother's side, it's the Romanovs and the house of the royal house of Greece and Denmark. Mm-hmm. And on my mother, it's the royal family of Italy and Belgium and Bavaria.
So it's so beautifully all linked together. And then your journey, tell us about your journey to becoming involved in the jewelry industry, because obviously jewels were always a part of your family's tradition. But when did it really strike a chord with you that you thought, I have to design jewelry?
Well, it didn't happen like that. It started when I was 4 or 5 years old, and I was fascinated by my mother's rings and the stones that she wore and all that. And then growing up, I mean, I was always staring at jewelry when I went in front of jewelry stores. And I used to go to the auctions at Sotheby's and Christie's to look at everything. I just loved it. And I studied, you know, gemology on my own, which I then restudied at the GIA in New York when I moved here. And after law school in Paris, I decided to come to New York, and I applied at Sotheby's in the jewelry department. And 20 years later, a friend of mine brought back some cufflinks from Brazil with lovely stones, but with a thick, clumsy mounting. So I told him to get rid of the mounting all completely. And I said, drill a hole in the center of that aquamarine and that amethyst and set a little diamond in it. And then through the stone on the other side, create a gold link that will then be a pair of cufflinks. And you will never see any metal around it, but just a little diamond or a ruby or an emerald or a sapphire sitting in the center. And that started a line of cufflinks that ended up at Bergdorf's. Then it evolved into a line for women on the same concept of all that being pierced. And there's an entire page of that on the first, one of the first pages of my book. And then little by little, it took over. That's what my life is about right now.
It is so beautiful. But I want to go back to when you said as a child, you would look at your mother's rings. Is there one in particular that you remember the most?
Yes, she had an enormous emerald, a big cabochon ring mounted in gold with diamonds around it. All bobé, a very round, plump, big thing like that, very bold. From Harry Winston, actually, it was. But with a stone that my grandmother had given her.
How beautiful. You know, it's true. Once upon a diamond, every diamond has a story and every gem has a story. Yeah. And so do you. You have a story. But I want to talk about when you first came to New York, because there was a rumor that you first started your career on Wall Street. How did that go for you?
Yes, exactly. So I used to come, you know, as a tourist here. Mm-hmm. End up at Studio 54 and stuff like that, as one did in those days. And then I thought, you know, I have to come and stay here. And I had various friends of mine who were doing training programs in banks in Wall Street, as one did in those days. So one of them told me, you know, if you want to come in New York, why don't you let me set up an interview in different banks and see if anyone takes you? And you could do a training program for 6 months or a year. I can't remember how long it was, because it was in 1982. And I said, well, yeah, sure, why not? And then it worked. So I came here, I did the training program. I worked for a while, but it was not exactly much fun in Wall Street. But I thought it was very useful, because I learned a lot. And I immediately learned, you know, the corporate mentality, how you have to fit in and how you walk on eggs, and the environment of a serious, American office, which was, you know, for us always the example in Europe. I mean, there was nothing more serious and professional than American office. So I thought it was a very exciting experience to go through.
Yeah.
But then when I had seen what it was, I applied at Sotheby's.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really interesting, too, about New York. When you came to New York, it was like right when crack was really making the city super dangerous. I mean, the timing to come into New York in the early 80s. I remember when, you know, my father with Delmonico's, he was so scared to bring the family down to Wall Street at nighttime. And so he moved the restaurant up to Connecticut in Greenwich. But like the city in the early 80s was so dangerous. And especially down in Wall Street, it was even more, you know, come nighttime, it was a whole nother world down there. So then you start transitioning into jewelry. How long after your Wall Street profession did you say, you know what, this isn't my passion, this isn't my purpose? When was that?
After about 6 or 9 months.
So quick.
You go through, you know, there's classes. You learn classes about... Right. Stocks and bonds and commodities is a bit like business school, but with the practice right there. So then they make you call people and you become a stockbroker or stuff like that. And then it was a bit boring to be a stockbroker, but it was nice to, you know, it was a useful human experience.
Absolutely.
My mother was very good friends with Alfred Taubman, who had just bought Sotheby's. So I called Alfred directly, and he said, you know, I suppose you're going to want to be in the Impressionist department, because everybody wants to be in the Impressionist department. It was the great fashion then. I said, but I only have one opening that I know of, which is in the jewelry department. And I said, yes, that's precisely where I want to go. And he goes, well, great, because we were looking for somebody to replace someone who just left.
But how beautiful is the synchronicity of life, how it rises up to meet you. Now, the book. We have to talk about Once Upon a Diamond. But before we get into the book, you know, the holiday spirit right now, I'm hearing so many different versions of how people are celebrating, and if they're going to celebrate, if they're not going to celebrate. But will you be celebrating this year, and how will you be doing it?
Yes, absolutely. I'm celebrating with friends on the 24th, on the 25th, and on the 31st. Listen, people celebrated in the middle of the revolution, of the World War One, of World War
Two. Thank you.
In the Depression. You don't let, you know, events get the best out of you.
It's so true. You know, my mom is Lithuanian. And when they escaped Lithuania, they were in DP camps for 5 years. And she said, every year that they were there, her father did something to remember that it was Christmas and to celebrate Christmas. In the deepest hour, in the darkest hour, in the deepest despair, Christmas was still there. So I love, you know, I love giving gifts. And one gift that I love to give is a book. Once Upon a Diamond from Rizzoli is one of the chicest books that anyone can give this holiday season. It's not too late. Tell us about the book. And really the labor that you put into the book. Was it like designing a piece of jewelry?
No, it was like constructing a puzzle.
A very big puzzle.
Yeah, we had all the elements because it started with a lady at Rizzoli saying, you know, I love your Instagram, let's do a book. Mm. So let's do a book. So then we said, you know, we have to orient it in the, take it from the angle of jewelry. So, okay. So we selected all the stories. I mean, there was enough stories. I have enough stories on Instagram for two or three books.
Well, are you going to have another one?
Maybe. So we had to narrow it down, and we had to always keep the thing of the jewelry.
Right.
But in every story, in every chapter about a personage described where we show her jewelry, you know, the tiaras and that, there's always a by the way, if you want, where I say all the amazing things these ladies did and men did, but mostly the ladies did, and how in their own days they were really role models, which is what royalty is. It's about being role models and giving back. I tell this fascinating story of my great-grandmother, how she saved the life of Albert Einstein. I tell the life of my great aunt who became friends with Sigmund Freud and helped him and also saved his life. I tell the life of my grandparents and my mother, who in the middle of the war adopted 12 orphans, children that they had found on the street, every single one of them mutilated, and how they changed their lives and they made them into happy little children by giving them love every day. Mm. And there's many, many, many other stories like that. It's all in the book, you'll see.
It's such a beautiful book and beautiful stories, and also such beautiful images that it's lit. You can close your eyes and daydream of how splendid life was. So Once Upon a Diamond, a family tradition of royal jewels. It's right now, you can go and buy it from Rizzoli. You can find it online. You also have your own webpage where people can go directly to buy it. Please tell us how we can find you on Instagram and also your webpage.
My webpage is www.princedimitri.com. Instagram is prince.dimitri.
Prince.Dimitri on Instagram. So when you were doing the book, Once Upon a Diamond, is there one piece of jewelry that you wish after the completion of the book you had put in but didn't make the cut?
There were two or three because the people were badly organized. They were in Europe. They didn't understand the concept of high-resolution photos because, you know, they kept on saying sending Polaroid pictures, basically. And I would send them, you know, a photo of a tiara from the Cartier archives in super high res and, you know, the black and white, which are fabulous. And I said, can you approach this kind of quality? Oh, yes, I can do it with my iPhone. No, we need a professional photographer. I'm ready to pay for it if I have to. Please do it. And then it didn't happen. But it was okay. I mean, I had enough stuff anyway.
No, it's so beautiful. And the cover, please tell us about the cover. It's so soft and beautiful. And it's like, oh, just so romantic.
So on the cover, it's my grandmother. Mm. And that photo of her where she's wearing that fantastic tiara, known as a kakoshnik in Russian. So we all thought it was by Cartier. Every book on jewelry, including the book on Cartier, lists it at the Cartier tiara of Grand Duchess Vladimir and all that. Well, long story short, the man who works at the archives, after 3 weeks of intense research, found out that the Grand Duchess Vladimir was in Cartier in 1901, I think, looking for stuff and buying and ordering things for her daughter. But she had that tiara in her bag because it needed repair. And she wondered if they could do the repair for her. And they said, yes. Mm. But the tiara had been made by Chaumet. And I found out when it was too late to change the text and all that. So all we were able to do is to erase the word Cartier in the description. So it doesn't describe it. It describes it, but doesn't say the provenance. So the provenance, I can tell you now, it is Chaumet.
How beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have, I wish we had more time to talk about the book, but the best thing to do is for everyone to go and buy the book. So please, 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 if you're looking for a holiday gift for anyone in your family, Once Upon a Diamond, go purchase the book. It is the most beautiful book that you can purchase for this holiday season. Prince Dimitri, do you have signed editions available?
Yes, they're all at the Rizzoli bookstore.
Wonderful. The one in New York. So
one in New York.
And if you're venturing out, go get the book.
Yeah. And the book also has two little surprises in it. It has 16 pages of black and white photos from Romanov albums, never photographed before, never published before. This is the first time it's published, including some really interesting pictures of the second Olympic Games in history in Athens, taken by my great-grandmother, who was whose name was Princess Nicholas of Greece, born Grand Duchess of Russia. And then there's also some watercolors of her jewelry made by the court jeweler in St. Petersburg, also never published before.
Beautiful. So it's a must-have. It's a must-have for any library, and it's a must-have if you're looking for someone who you're like, what do I get them this Christmas? A book, Once Upon a Diamond by Prince Dimitri. Prince Dimitri, for those who are listening, and they are young ones who are thinking, I want to design jewelry. I want to get into the business. What do you tell them?
Read everything. Look at everything. Think outside of the box. There was one book that changed my life, which was a book written in the late 19th century. It's called The Grammar of Ornaments by Owen Jones. And it is an enormous book. It's a visual dictionary of every style that was ever designed in the decorative arts at any time in history in any country in the world.
Mm.
It's fantastic because I love medieval things. I love Indian and Iranian things. I love Chinese and Japanese design. I love Islamic geometry. So I go in that book and I look for certain things when I have ideas. Mm. And it's all there written so it can, and you can change it if you want, but it's all there to nourish your mind if you are a creative person.
Absolutely. Well, a man of the world obviously is inspired by the world. Yeah. Prince Dimitri, thank you so much for joining us here tonight on Max and Friends. But before I let you go, what is it you would like people to know for this holiday season? Something, a tradition that you have that you want to share with our listeners tonight?
I don't know.
Many. This year. What should people do this year? What should people do this year that they feel like this holiday season, what are we going to do this year?
Well, they should live in the moment.
I love it.
More importantly. If you have anxiety, if you have, which we all do, but especially some people who have hit hard times, wake up from the stream of compulsive thinking and be in the present and now, because the present moment, really, very little can happen to you unless there's danger. But it's a very, very good therapy to quiet the mind that sort of races on anxiety.
The present moment is the ultimate gift.
Yes.
Right? It's the ultimate gift.
Well, there's another book like that, which has changed my life, and I'm finishing it for the third time. It's called The Power of Now.
Yes, the best.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic.
It's really, medicine for the soul. And I wish everybody read it because it's done so much good to me and to all the people I've given it to.
Beautiful. You know, I'm going to send you a book, one that my guest here, Gordana Biernat, she's on the show often. The book is called Hashtag Know the Truth, Why Knowing Who You Are Changes Everything. Beautiful. Another beauty. I love giving books. They're the best gift, I think. So, and your book, Once Upon a Diamond, is the ultimate holiday 2020 gift. And next year, give it to everyone next year for their birthday parties.
Yes.
So, Prince Dimitri, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for being here. And I hope to see you in New York
soon. I miss you. I never see you anymore.
I know, but you know, I have some good news.
What?
Well, I'm gonna tell you first because only a few people, Vanessa knows. I told her. But I sold my house in LA and I'm getting a house in Westchester County, right outside of Bedford.
So
we will be doing summer garden parties at the house, at the farmhouse.
Fantastic. And we can do some cooking together. We can
everything. Cook. We are going to cook. We're going to have books. We're going to talk philosophy and jewelry and diamonds. But until then, we can just daydream it into reality.
Brilliant. It's been way too long. I miss you.
I miss you too. I give you a big hug and I wish you a very happy, happy holiday and a wonderful 2021.
You too. Thank you so much.
Okay, good night, Prince Dimitri.
Lots of love. Bye-bye.
You too. Ciao, ciao. All right, everyone, we've got to wrap this show up. Thank you, Ronan, for giving me extra time with my pal, Prince Dimitri. Well, right now, everyone, on Max and Friends, we're going to play Happy Holidays because that's what I want you to have. I know that it's been a tough year. I know these holidays might suck for so many of you, but know that I love you. I see you. I hear you. You matter. Together we rise. And please, like Prince Dimitri said, be in the moment. I know what it's like to have a holiday without a loved one. You know, my father died when I was 8 years old and it totally sucked and it shattered so many Christmases. But until I realized that every time I say their name, their spirit is with me. Say their names. Until next time, I love you for tuning in to Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. And right now, happy holidays. Good night and Merry Christmas.
Happy holiday. Happy holiday. May the calendar keep bringing happy holidays to you.